information security. And of course, as anyone recognizes, the internet is for porn. Right? Okay. So Avenue Q, right? So that's a Broadway play just a few blocks from here with furry Muppets and lighthearted jocularities. But of course, the internet brings up a lot of other notions, a lot of notions of censorship, a lot of emotions in some people. And I think that's part of why the speaker selection group was very happy to have this be one of the topics that's covered. And of course, the relevance, as you see in the long extended title, is very obvious to some of the topics we care about here. So I'd like to extend a very special greeting to any representatives, members, or hangers-on at the law firm of Baker & McKenzie. I'd also like to recognize and welcome our many friends from the Electronic Frontier Foundation to this talk. Thank you very much. And what we have as an extra special treat is not only Chris Kubeka, who is our speaker, we also have Jarrett Colm, who is our ghost speaker. And so without further ado, I introduce you to The Internet is for Porn.
Hello, my name is Chris Kubeka.
And I'm Jarrett Colm.
This is a presentation, How High Heels and Fishnet Have Driven Internet Innovation and Information Security. The focus of it is basically the slippery slope of censorship, starting out with pornography.
And we just want you to have a good time. Please feel free to ask questions. And we would just like to give you some of our favorite views of The Internet is for Porn. Hopefully you all have seen this. Can we bring the audio up?
I've got a fast connection, so I don't have to wait.
For porn.
What? There's always some new site.
For porn.
Now, depending who you are, we can
for
joke
porn.
About this.
Like
other people in the world, it's no joke.
For
that's
porn.
Where all the problems come in.
The internet is for porn.
Ready?
The internet is for porn.
What are you doing?
Why you think the net was born? Porn, porn, porn.
Yay, porn.
You are ruining my song.
I have to read this. This presentation is solely the opinion of the presenters and not necessarily shared by any clients, current or subsequent employers of the presenters.
And who the hell am I? Because I'm not on the program. Well, I'm JK47, currently working as a professional services engineer for many of the storage and databases that you might be using today. And I focus on databases, virtualization, and infrastructure. I actually started when I was a teenager making websites for porn companies and multi-level marketing companies. I did that because I couldn't be sued or arrested like other people were. So I also worked at Air Force Space Command, 21st Comwing, Oracle, all that fun stuff. And in my time at Oracle, I made one of the largest porn databases with some special searching features for finding what I wanted. I could find anything. So, skin color, nipple size. This was when like 8i first came out and you could actually do streaming of video and audio straight from the database. I was in heaven. All right, so questions and feedback. We have a mic set up here. If you have any questions, please come up and ask us. We'll also set aside time at the very end for questions, but stop us if you have something pressing or if you have a question about the material we're asking.
Okay, so a few questions for the audience. A show of hands. How many have heard of friends using the internet to surf porn? All right, excellent. All right. How many have ever actually had to investigate a pornography incident? Right? Does anyone ever think that they were ever exposed to illegal pornography? Okay.
Now, what on earth is illegal pornography?
Right.
I mean, it really depends on your country. But not everywhere can get to porn. Luckily, there's Wikipedia.
Who knew it was so sexy, right? A little shave this and a little that, right?
So, some of the top searches on Wikipedia.
Yes. So, what is legal pornography? In the United States, there are some very specific definitions. This country is rather unusual in the fact that computer-generated child pornography is also illegal. Like we said, the definition of legal porn changes from jurisdiction to jurisdiction. Erotic materials are not considered obscene. There is a definition of obscene and there's a definition of erotic and pornography. They are different. So in different countries and different states, there are differences in the definition of actually what they consider obscene as well.
Bible belt.
Yes, exactly. But the actual definition of what is obscene was from a 1968 Supreme Court ruling of Jacob Bells versus Ohio. The Supreme Court justice said, "I know it when I see it, sir, and this is not it." He was referring to a movie operator who was fined $2,500 for showing basically what we would consider a soft porn, maybe soft porn, movie that involved some ladies and so forth. But it went all the way up to the Supreme Court, and now we have an actual definition of what is obscene and what is not.
Now, pornography has actually brought us a lot of great advancements, both in internet and hardware. Now, the first porn online services were in the 80s. Like most of us, we had really slow systems. I know of someone in Diego Garcia who looked at it over 75 baud teletype lines.
That's patient.
Yes. So, Usenet, a great innovation for porn. And that's all I got to say about that. And the web usage grew at an amazing amount, especially within colleges, because of pornography. And the dot-com boom. What would have it been without pornography? So, more of the technical advancements were in the codecs used. The biggest was probably actually JPEG push video, because it allowed video streaming without plugins, because plugins suck. Who here remembers RealPlayer? Yeah.
Exactly.
One of my favorites when I was a teenager was called See You, See Me. Oh, yeah. Yes. So, I mean, from that, we got the more advanced codecs. Many are used today, like H323 for VoIP and those services. Also, MP4s came out of that because of DivX, because of all of the different licensing restrictions on the codecs. We also got major advances in online payment systems. WorldPay and CC Bill, before pornography and the push for identification of people's ages, they were just doing EBCDIC and modem transfers, things like that. But because of porn websites, you needed a reliable payment system. So there's a clear trend, and when WorldPay and CC Bill first came out and released their online processing systems, and the pornography boom. And, of course, PayPal, but PayPal sucks for porn. It also got us Paris Hilton. Yeah, never mind. So, and Chocolate Rain. And who the fuck is that guy? Really? I have no idea. All right, we also got a lot of hardware advances out of it. Global load balancers. You don't want your viewers of your porn going to a slow website across the country. Cisco came out with some of the best global load balancers. Nowadays, we have many other companies in that space, and Cisco's backing out. We also got WAN accelerators, Riverbed and F5. They'd probably be nowhere without pornography. I mean, they built some of the most sophisticated TCP stacks, besides what comes out of BSD, of any around. We also got SSL accelerators. Before Sun and a couple other companies started pushing $1,000 SSL accelerators, I mean, you would take an entire server farm to host one small porn website. I know one of my sites in 96 took 1,000 servers, and then we dropped in two Suns with SSL accelerators to replace them. So that was an incredible advancement. It was on-chip encryption and decryption for the masses. I mean, back when I did the consulting to the government, we were using million-dollar bulk encryptors, KG-84s, KIV-7s. Those were just not possible before pornography and it made it popular. We also got advances in diddle cams. I mean, where would your DSLR be today if the money wasn't there for webcam sales before Logitech, before those companies came out? These are things that we touch every day, so to speak, and we we wouldn't know that they were advances because of pornography. We don't think, all right, why did most people buy a webcam in the 90s? Seriously. Yeah. So, and low-cost, high-quality recording mediums.
And there's been some security-related incidents that have brought security innovation into play. For example, the Melissa virus crashed email servers around the world when it occurred. So did the Anna Kournikova virus when it came about again. From some of these security-related incidents, we have gotten email filtration, web filtration. When Twitter was hit with porn spam, they switched over to TLS instead. Instead of SSL. We now have, in addition to that, browsers in private mode, or otherwise called porn mode.
Got it on my phone.
Exactly, right? Digital IDs to make sure that age verification could occur. Private VPNs and proxies to make sure that nobody could see all the interesting little bits of porn that we were looking at.
Who uses Tor? Oh, yeah.
There you go. And nowadays, funny enough, it is safer to surf a porn site than it is to read a blog, to visit a company site, or to visit a religious site.
In semantic studies, religious websites are 3 times more likely to contain viruses than porn sites.
Woo!
Now, the economics of internet porn.
So, there's a lot of revenue that has been generated from pornography. You're talking about the various filtration. You're talking about the monitoring of employees. You're talking about, on the back end, litigation and legal fees. What other ways can anyone think of? Anyone?
Pay webcam sites. Housewives trying to raise some extra money.
It's a homegrown business nowadays.
Anything else that you can think of? Oh, come on. Payment clearinghouses.
Payment clearinghouses, yeah.
All right. Hosting?
I'm not quite sure I want to actually openly admit this. There's something called Cat 4, which is the same for me.
Amateur. Yeah. Sites for amateur porn?
It's basically, they have something called like Cat 4 bucks where they can give, like, presenters.
Believe me, there's more sites like that, and I'll tell you afterwards. There's better. Hell no. Yes, Fat Life. X-Hamster.
Chat Roulette.
X-Video.
Chat Roulette. Or Penis Roulette. So, pornography brings in a lot of money. Also taxable as well, so it's a revenue generation for many governments around the world. It's quite amazing that although the United States seems to have a very interesting view on pornography, it brings in more money in this country than all of the organized sports franchises put together. They say a new porn movie is created on average every 39 minutes. This comes from ABN Media Network. In order to get on their list, you actually have to be a larger pornographer. So this doesn't actually even count any homegrown porn. So I would venture to say it would be a little bit more often than once every 39 minutes.
That is the density of
pornography subscriptions in the United States. And to point out, curiously enough, the darker the color,
what else are you going to do there?
Exactly. It's safer to surf porn than religious websites. They're starting to make the switch, right?
It's all about security. So. So, the $4.9 billion is just what AVN has reported. And if you didn't know, AVN has a porn award show every January in Vegas. Go to it. So, all of the other websites, webcam sites, personal sites, I mean, those are not included in this number. We're probably looking at $40 or $50 billion in annual revenue just on porn. And with all the side revenue of the hardware, the software, I mean, it is incredible. Imagine the storage needed by just one porn distributor. Hundreds of terabytes of storage.
Yeah, no, it's not. All
right. So this is what the picture looks about the legality of pornography. As we can see, in the United States, it's supposed to be allowed and not censored. Now, interesting enough, in India, these stats are actually about India. Although it's partially legal in India, they've made some very restrictive laws very recently, some laws that I don't think any of us would want to follow, such as anytime you want to use a cyber cafe or even Starbucks Wi-Fi, they have to ID you and photograph that identification. All computer screens have to be in plain sight, so if you're trying to do private banking or anything else, not that I would use a cyber cafe to do internet banking, but all the screens have to be in plain sight and monitored by the staff, so nothing is private. A copy of the ID is kept on record on file at the local cyber cafe. The browsing histories are stored for at least 1 year.
Ah, shit.
Yeah. And every month, all cyber cafes have to send all of their data to the Indian government. Now, these are things that don't sound too comfortable to me. Another example, the Thai blacklist. The Thai government decided to institute a countrywide blacklist against child pornography websites as a protective measure. So anything that might be considered erotic or obscene involving minors. Now, I agree with that. Okay, fair enough. Except it turns out that over 1,200 websites are actually blocked because they're critical of the royal family. Now, I don't think that that has much to do with pornography. I don't know. What was that?
Unless it does.
Yeah. If you've seen the royal family, you don't want to see it.
And one of the biggest problems is, of course, this blacklist is completely non-transparent. There's no way to see what's on the blacklist, if you're on the blacklist, how to fight against the blacklist to get your name off. And recently, there was a U.S. citizen that was sentenced to 2.5 years in prison. His crime was tweeting a translation of an unauthorized biography of the King of Thailand. He was just pardoned this week. Discussing Australia. Now, Australia is a very interesting situation. They have a blacklist run by the ACMA. The ACMA is not elected and is without judicial review. They decided a couple of years ago that they believe that women, adult women with small breasts, encouraged child pornography. Exactly. They also considered female ejaculation as a fetish. I didn't hear them blocking pornography of men with less than average members or male ejaculation or, well, entire genres of pornography would be off limits in Australia. And as an example, this, if she was naked, would be perfectly fine with the ACMA.
Guinness Book World Record. Let's give her a hand. It's a very big feat to get in the Guinness Book. Well, not feat, but something else.
And there's a couple other things. About 2 days ago, it was announced that a new law that's going through Australia might require every Australian resident or citizen to hand over their passwords to all of their social networking accounts so that the Australian government can properly monitor their internet and social networking. This happened just 2 days ago.
All right, in the news, just this week, Russia actually passed a very bad censorship law. Now, it's basically a blacklist of extremist content. Now, what is extremist content? It's anything they want it to be. So, all web pages and websites containing banned pornography, drug ads, and promoting suicide or extremist ideas, like this conference to them,
exactly,
should be put on a unified digital blacklist. There's actually been a new agency forming to monitor this. So that's a lot of money that they don't have to monitor stuff that they shouldn't care about. Now, there's actually a Russian search engine, Yandex, whose stocks plummeted over this. I guess they'll have to use Google for their porn. So, now, our own FCC, who has usually been pretty poor on things like this in the past, actually had the gall to come out and speak against the bill. So, it's troubling and a dangerous direction. How many times have we felt that about the FCC?
Yeah.
Now, also in the news this week, this has actually been a very big week around the world for censorship. Ethiopia. Now, Ethiopia is not a good place to be. The government has been blocking news sites and blogs, like large ones, for about 7 years now. Now they're actually starting to block Facebook, smaller blogs, and news services. That sucks. They're also blocking Skype and VoIP services now because they want everybody to use the state-run telephone network so they can tap and monitor all calls.
And make money at the same time off of it.
Yes. Now, also in the news, as if that wasn't enough censorship happening this week, China. China is actually going to require all online content distributors to monitor and watch every single video and make sure it is okay. Now, what is okay in China? So, now, two different organizations put this out, the State Administration of Radio, Film, and Television and the State Internet Information Office, the Propaganda Office. Now, vulgar content, excessive violence, and pornography are going to be banned. So, search engine Youku said, political speech, if it is anti-party and anti-social, it definitely will not pass. Now, that's pretty scary. But we're in America. We're safe from all that, right?
Absolutely. So, the current U.S. climate right now, the U.S. signed ACTA. Now, ACTA isn't specifically for pornography, but it does have some mentionings about some copyrighted material, which is part of the slippery slope, so to speak, with protecting certain financial interests to block and censor content. And there's quite a few parallels between ACTA, PIPA, and SOPA. There have been groups like Doctors Without Borders who have spoken out against this. We're risking not only our online freedoms, but also things like generic medications or other medications. So these things are not good for any of us. We have a current presidential candidate who wants to, if he is president, wants to sign an executive order for there to be a way in every household for someone to press a button to block out possible pornography. He is very anti-porn. So is some of his backers, Mr. Romney. All to protect minors, of course, from seeing possible pornography or where they came from.
Who do you think is actually installing the computers in these homes? The kids.
Yep.
Yes. Yep. Now, what's the real reason behind ACTA, PIPA, SOPA? I mean, it's not to save the children. It's to save the money.
Absolutely.
It's copyright. Now, Walt Disney was sort of right when he said, I only hope that we don't lose one thing, that it was all started by a mouse. All of these legislations, all of these protective actions, all this censorship is just covering up real ways to monitor us and make the money. Now, everyone knows about the Mickey Mouse copyright laws. Mickey Mouse will never die. It will always be in copyright. So as long as that happens, there will be new PIPAs, new SOPAs, new Pippi Lockstocks, whatever. So it's a future ahead of us, and we just have to inform as many people as possible. corporate censorship.
Oh. Because it goes into Apple.
All right. Now, erotic author said, I want to pinch myself to see if I'm awake, and sometimes I wonder, is this really happening to me? Now, there's a lot of erotica on Amazon stores and the bookstores for Kindles, but not everyone likes it, especially all the device manufacturers. Apple. We all love Apple. Well, not really, but I like their MacBook. Now, Apple started censoring books and apps in 2010. Anything that it felt was dirty or moral, or they couldn't get in multiple countries. Now, they began censoring photography in multiple forms on their iPad because they want a clean product. One of my backgrounds is photography. So I and many others have wanted to put apps in Apple's App Store. Most of my photographer friends who are female have opened up boudoir versions of their businesses for women. They make e-books out of photo shoots, things like that. Apple is constantly rejecting them.
Earlier this month, Cisco did a very interesting thing for some of its residential customers with some of the higher-end home routers. All of a sudden, when people went to use their internet, they noticed that their local administration of their own router, piece of hardware that they bought, that they set up and configured themselves, that they thought that they owned the piece of hardware, their administration was actually moved to Cisco's Connect Cloud service without a choice, without notice, without anything. The Cisco Cloud service was very interesting because it had some very strange and, shall we say, leading into censorship terms and conditions. Some of the terms and conditions were, you agree not to use this product for anything obscene, any pornographic or offensive purposes. And then below it, intellectual property rights go hand in hand, don't they?
Now, what would ebooks be without pornography? It made Audible.com. It's making Amazon's bookstore right now. Mommy porn, Harlequin, all of that. Now, MILF porn is actually holding the top four spots. This is a three-book series holding the top four spots. Yeah. Because the three-book series as a single item is spot number four. Yes. But, women, go for it.
Okay, the current international climate, I was very happy. I happen to reside in the European Union in the Netherlands, and my country voted down ACTA and said that they were not even allowed to bring a bill or treaty to the Dutch Parliament that even resembled ACTA. Finally, the day that I landed in this country on the 4th of July, I got a text message that ACTA was completely defeated in the EU Parliament. So we're very happy about that. Absolutely. However, we're still under attack. In the United Kingdom, they want to do some very interesting things about censorship and pornography, since one of the MPs commented that it was his goal to clean up the internet. So what they... Yeah, exactly. So what they would like to do is every person who has internet, per your account, you will have everything, all pornography will be blocked, but you will have the option to opt in to see pornography. Just like I would love to be on a government list saying that I have opted in to view pornography. The next step will probably be what type of pornography and fetish material you would like to use. I say that because they did a study and gathered some information, the United Kingdom did, putting in, you know, opt-in and what types of things. And unfortunately, the list, due to lack of security, was compromised and posted online. So already, before they instituted any kind of legal program, they already spread information about their citizens they had no business doing. So I don't particularly trust a government having my name on a list associated with viewing pornography. The United Kingdom also wants to consider a black box, like on the airlines, that is installed on every home computer, which can monitor all social networking and all email traffic. So that's been proposed. That's quite scary. Who would want that in their home? A box monitoring you? I don't. That's ridiculous.
The good news for you Americans is we don't have to do anything because they just give it to the government, Facebook, Twitter. We don't have to be bothered with that.
It's done for us.
Yes.
Now, unfortunately, although ACTA has been defeated in the EU, there is something new. And although it doesn't specifically deal with pornography, it deals a lot with copyright, and it's called CETA. Now, CETA is quite similar to ACTA. It's actually somewhat more restrictive in some manners. Doctors Without Borders has also come out against this. Now, the thing about CETA is they're trying to push it in the EU with a commission, not elected, not parliament, nothing to do with judicial review. And this is how they're trying to circumvent the fact that the European Union said no to ACTA. So, what can be done with all of this censorship? Well, we have a few ideas which are only opinions. We believe in transparency. We think that if you have a blacklist, you should be able to view it, see what's on it, and if you're put on there inadvertently, just like a Queensland dentist was placed on the Australian blacklist, I guess because they thought that dental surgery was a little too saucy, I'm not sure.
Oral.
Censorship shouldn't be based on someone's opinion. For example, the head of the ACMA is a highly religious man who does not believe in pornography. February 2012, they came out with a report specifying that their top goal was actually to block and censor legal adult pornography. So it should really be based on what our representatives and what we say and what a judge says, but not somebody's opinion that is not elected and outside judicial review. Information technology professionals should be consulted. For example, Bruce Schneier perhaps should not have been disinvited from the Senate meeting. We need people who know more than the internet is made up of tubes before they start changing our internet. And this was a suggestion from a blog from VRRITTI.com. Transparency of all blacklists and censorship methods used by businesses would be nice too.
Who here has ever had to be the asshole to install a filter at a company and everyone hated you after? Yeah, that sucks.
So we need to stay on top of what's going on online and what's going on with censorship because we need to make sure that we protect our rights and hold on to them as much as possible. So here is a way that people in the U.S., the U.K., India, and in the EU can locate any of their elected or parliamentary members. I suggest that all of us get to know who our elected or parliamentary members are, so we stay on top of it. It's not something that someone else is going to do. It's something that we need to do. We also need to stay on top and get to know organizations that are against censorship and are for our basic rights, human and online, such as the ACLU. And please give a good shout out to the EFF who's in the audience as well. Yeah. The International Pirate Party, there are now parties in this country that have been set up. So please check out their website. And by the way, their website is hosted in Iceland with a free speech provider. In France and Germany, the Chaos Computer Club. And please check out the International Declaration of Freedom involving the Internet. I would be remiss if I didn't mention how to report illegal porn. Here are some associations that anywhere in the world, if you happen to see something that looks like child pornography, I beg you, please report it. Child pornography is one of the few crimes where the person is re-victimized because once something is posted online, it's there forever. Thousands of copies are made. Like the State Department found out when they tried to demand from WikiLeaks that they hand back all this stolen information. They, of course, had to explain to the State Department that that was quite impossible. And this is just a brief list to make sure that I don't break copyright, nor does JK47. It will be added on so that hopefully no one sues us.
All right. Does anyone have any further questions on this? Comments? Yes.
I have a question. Now, so you guys mentioned the filtering of pornography. And what's the web chat roulette? So I remember they hired, God, I can't remember the guy, he ran a failed company, and then they hired the guy to write software for skin detection.
Well, the question is, how are they planning on building the lists of pornography sites? It actually currently exists now. If you look at sites like URL Blacklist, that's a free or paid blacklist that people can download for Dan's Guardian and other open source software. I mean, it's actually a community effort, but there's companies, Blue Coat, Semantic, like hundreds of companies just trying to search and make these. But, I mean, even a simple program now can go out, either Google or Spider themselves, and based off of point calculations or theme and gist searching, build an index off of what is this relationship to. Is it just searching breasts as far as medical or with other words near it? I mean, the search engine that I built in the mid-90s, that was very, very basic off of a single database. And within that one database, I had the methodology to do it with that. If you look at things like Snort and some of the email systems, which actually have AI built into it to block, I mean, if you just apply that same logic to web searching, you can gather hits off of URLs. Open source software like Dan's Guardian, that's doing multiple ways of handling it. It uses URL lists. It uses word references within certain points, builds up these values, and either flags it in real time or blocks it at the list. So if you have a site like Facebook where you might not have bad material everywhere but just certain groups, I mean, that's when you want to get more of the fine-grained technology. And we're dealing with governments who have trillions of dollars to waste on this crap. So their resources are endless. Yes?
Could you talk a little more about copyright issues, especially with the rise of tube sites and the interface with some of those are actually owned by companies that are producing content and then pirating other companies' content to market their own content?
Well, it seems to be very much one way to keep certain legal firms in business, it appears, quite a money-generating item. I must stress this actually, per my lawyer, I must say that this is actually not my area of expertise. So.
Okay. So what we have now are things like Hulu, Vimeo, YouTube, and all of these companies, Paramount, EMI, they are releasing their own information, trailers, videos, and people take them, mash them up, send them out to other sites. Well, they hire companies to search, use algorithms, and actually search for media based off of different algorithms which say, all right, it fits this pattern. There's been many times where artists themselves have gotten DMCA violations because of what they posted, and they're the owner and their label owns it, but because these third parties.
I was talking more specifically about the adult sites.
Okay.
Where some of the adult sites are actually owned by pornography companies.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any, and since you were talking about the adult industry.
Well, I mean, we've all seen aggregator sites like the TGP sites where
it's just nonstop clicking. They're taking other people's content. So I don't think it's a bad thing to have large pornography conglomerates. I mean, we need someone to put out to do the legal checks. So aggregators, they're just in for a penny a click. So that's where a real problem comes. They are stealing content to say which is supposed to be behind a paywall. I mean, look at anonib.com and all those where people stealing off of pay sites and just posting there. So copyright does definitely come into play. This is someone's real livelihood, and I'm not saying we should be totally against copyright. I just don't want it to be for 75 years. Vintage porn's not that bad.
Okay, so related to what you were talking about earlier about you were talking about people reinterpreting stuff and then the big companies basically crawling content for stuff that they own the copyright to and taking down videos because of an illegal soundtrack. I'm just wondering, will we get to a point where there's similar stuff going on against transformative work of other kinds? Because another great big example of porn on the internet, as far as I'm concerned, is fanfic. It may not be widely known that what you were talking about just before, 50 Shades of Grey, started life as a Twilight fanfiction.
Yeah.
They just changed the names.
And it was stolen almost entirely from Anne Rice's Sleeping Beauty series in 84, but there's no original work in literature, things like that. So we definitely do see lawsuits based around theme and content in books and publishing. That's been going on for almost 200 years. So, I mean, if anything, it's just going to get worse. Now that something like 50 Shades has taken off so big, or Twilight's taken off so big, I mean, are we probably going to see a better love story than Twilight? No, it's crap, but it is so large that that's what everyone references it to. It is pretty much stolen from other people in the past, but they might have not gotten as big. So we're really on a downhill battle with much of this. We can just hope that certain genres, certain material doesn't get too big, and we can actually keep it in our own domain or do things similar with it.
Just a quick comment on Ethiopia and the BLIP thing, or an addition. If you get caught, it's about, last I checked, 15 years in prison. So they suck.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Yes, they do.
A few years ago, there was a protest in Ethiopia, and the police force opened fire with live round bullets. When the international media asked them why they opened fire on their own citizens, they said, listen, we're a poor country, and we can't afford rubber bullets. Exactly. So these are not countries that you want to get on a list. Yes, sir.
At the beginning of the talk, you were mentioning how adult material had pushed technology forward in a lot of ways. What do you see as future technology jumps because of the adult industry?
In the recent future, I definitely see things like solid state as huge advancements. When you look at PCIe-based solid state, like the I.O. drive, I mean, yes, some larger companies have used it. Not that it matters, because MySpace, they bought one for every single server, but they're not going to be around much longer. But a lot of porn companies are starting to do that on their proxy servers, especially Squid proxy servers, because if you can serve your static content off of solid state, which is not just a solid state disk going over an I.O. controller, but straight from the PCIe bus, which is much faster. I mean, that has been a huge advancement in the porn technologies. Now, we're also looking at other similar SAN vendors doing things like hybrid aggregates with solid state and cheaper drives like SATA within the same RAID set, within the same pool, and more intelligent caching algorithms where they'll know which blocks are hot. We're also looking a lot at deduplication technologies, which are better at more granular levels, 4K levels and smaller, which can deduplicate the actual files, even if they're encrypted or similarly encrypted, and that relates to less storage being needed. So that is something that certainly is a very recent year's advancement. But we are still seeing some advancements in things like WAN acceleration and actual backbones of internet and providers. You might hear some statistics that YouTube and Netflix are some of the highest bandwidth sites in the world, but it's not really true. If you look at all of the porn sites put together, it totally trumps Google, Netflix, YouTube.
Like X-Hamster, for example, uses something like 29 petabytes of data a day. And about 7% of the world's internet users actually visit X-Hamster. So
we're definitely seeing advancements in total throughput. We're soon going to have 40 and 100 gig E. InfiniBand has just been growing like crazy. So these technologies are definitely coming, and no one wants to admit that the porn industry is paying so much for hardware and software.
So in your talk, you mentioned about how Apple is not allowing porn on their App Store. App Store seems to be kind of the future of a lot of platforms. The Windows App Store is coming. There's the Android App Store, which is this platform's maybe a little bit more open, but those companies probably are not going to be too friendly to porn. So what do you think is going to happen? Do you think users will go to alternate, they'll sort of, porn will be a driver to take users, get them to root their phone, take them out of things? Or do you think we'll sort of see a slowing down of technology where, like, there may be some ways people could use a smartphone to do porn apps on in using the accelerometer or
they
other features
exist.
Of
this?
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, do you think that there's, like, we're going to miss out on those?
No, not at all. Basically, in the recent year, especially because of books like 50 Shades of Grey, Apple has gotten their ass kicked in the ebook market. The Kindle has majorly been outselling the iPad just for 50 Shades of Grey in the past couple weeks. I mean, 50 Shades have been on the book lists for 108 days. So there's a significant trend in iPad versus Kindle sales because of that, or books being shared. Apple is actually getting a little bit more lenient about what they're blocking. They recently took down the no viruses thing on their website. So they're starting to admit things. They're admitting that they had malware in the last month on their App Store. So because of the push of the user base, they're going to open up a little bit, but it's not going to be absolute. But there are still ways to get apps on your iPad, or people won't make apps which are directly content holders. If you look at many of the applications or application development toolkits, sort of like Appcelerator Titanium for making apps on every single device all within one program, you're seeing ways that you can make a container program, so to speak, which will display your content, which will show your location. And if you do things like host your content outside of their store, I mean, you have a lot better chance of getting your app approved. There is, I can't remember the name right now, maybe someone else will be able to remember and shout it out, but Pink something for the iPad, which is a porn app for it. So it's usually referenced if you go to porn sites on your iPad, they're like, hey, do you want to download this and pay $1 or $2 a month for it? So those apps are definitely out there already. I mean, if we look back at Betamax versus VHS, HD, like that was a licensing thing which pushed VHS to be the winner. I don't know why Blu-ray won, because it's more expensive to license, but porn pushed that from HD DVD to Blu-ray. I mean, they're pushing all of the applications as well. I mean, Cydia was around. People had that. There were some porn apps in that. Now they're finding new ways with HTML5 and being able to use not just Objective-C, but these abstraction layer programming languages like Appcelerator Titanium and some other open source applications to make these apps. So we're definitely going to have them, and we have them now.
Do you think users will actually root their phones or go Android instead of Apple to get their porn? Do you have any evidence of users doing that?
Europe Android sales are up. because you can root your own phone. There's nothing wrong with it. And because of the legal battles between Apple and Samsung, Apple's actually losing in the European Union right now. Some Apple products have been pulled off the shelves in Germany, last I heard. And by the way, just to add in, Apple does allow Playboy, amazingly enough, but they do not allow smaller organizations or companies that have similar content to be sold on their devices. So they're very selective.
Now, this is a phone that in the U.S., I'll break it if I root it, well, officially, if some dumbass did it. But in the U.K. version, or the Europe version, was specifically released to be easily rooted and have, like, Cyanomod or whatever his name is, his stuff put on it. So, I mean, we do see some users do that, but with the advancements with HTML5 and other canvas orientation, I mean, we won't need as much in the way of apps to be downloaded to have the same support and ability.
So a while back, I read an article on U.S. law that wanted to limit porn websites to the .xxx domain. So I was going to ask you guys if you had anything to say as how that would affect the porn industry, and if the law would ever pass, like if the porn business has enough lobby to, you know,
There's just too much which can be considered porn to make that happen. That's like saying National Geographic should be labeled as Playboy. I mean, who here first saw tits in National Geographic?
There you go.
So, I mean, I just don't think that's possible. I mean, it might be a good idea, might help the filter companies, but it's not going to happen. So, all right, I think that's all the time we have for tonight. So thank you all for coming.
Thank you very much.